Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat with Pastor Brent Kuhlman and Pastor Scott Porath. We continue to speak of the Lord's Supper, this gift that he's given to us. And Palm Sunday. We were talking last week about kind of walking through the liturgy of the service of the sacrament. We were talking about the Sanctus, in which we have these Palm Sunday words, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Mm-hmm. Hosanna in the highest. And indeed, here in the supper, the highest one who was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born and so forth, he comes to us. He comes into our midst for our salvation.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. The Most High God descends and condescends in this way for his sinners. And I love that. I mean, that he would do this for his sinners. Again, reminds me what the scriptures teach, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us.
And really to emphasize, really, why don't you just use really a lot, Scott, to emphasize that it is the Lord coming to serve us in this meal, so that we don't get that backwards either. The Lord comes to us.
Yeah, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Luke, of course, records the account of the Lord's Supper, and then, of course, in the midst of his instituting the Lord's Supper, the disciples are arguing among themselves about who's the greatest. And as we heard at the pastor's conference over a week ago, you know, it's from the professor, no doubt that these apostles probably didn't like each other that much anyway. Just like the church today, pastors really don't like each other that much. Go to pastor's conference, you'll find that out. Have you noticed that? There are herds. There's little herds of pastors everywhere.
Right.
You know, just and each herd doesn't like each other. It's very interesting how this works and sad. But yeah, things don't change.
Well, and you know, this is after the Mountain of Transfiguration too.
That's right.
You know, and so Peter, James, and John, you know, they're really, you know, chest puffed out kind of thing.
And we all need to repent of this.
But the Lord Jesus, oh, don't say anything about this. So they really can't say, you know, but they're proving, oh, we're better than you guys. And there's probably a little battle between those three, too.
Yeah, in the midst of this battle, Jesus says, who's greater? And then he says, I am the one among you who serves. And that's in the context of the Lord's Supper. So he's not only the meal, he's also the butler and he's the host. And he serves the whole enchilada, if you will.
Yeah, the highest one lowers himself to wash their feet. He, you know, sets the table. He is the meal.
And if you think that's shocking.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah, and if you think the Lord washing his disciples' feet is shocking, well, just wait till he says eat and drink.
All right.
That's even more shocking. That's even more repulsive to people like Peter, who says, oh, no, you won't do that to me. And so you have many people today who say, well, I won't be given his body and blood. Good grief, no way. And then Peter had to be straightened out.
All right.
Not just my feet, but everything, my whole body. Oh, okay.
Yeah, what does it mean, Peter, that he is the Christ? It means you sit there and drink.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, wonderful Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday crowds, please save us now. That's what Hosanna means. And so we left off last time talking about, you know, what they expected is not what they got. They didn't get a utopian revolutionary. Mm-hmm. They got a Savior who gives his life to save them.
This guy that we put all our hope in, you know, to use the language of the Emmaus disciples, you know, we really hoped he was going to be something. He ends up getting himself killed. That's kind of the mood that falls over the crowd. High expectations and, oh.
That was a tragic figure.
What a shame.
Tragic. Because we really had high hopes, yeah. So we sing these words because he, like, lift up your hearts because your redemption is drawing near. The Redeemer comes to give you the benefits of his redeeming Good Friday death for you. And that's why we sing these words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you didn't know this, well, let's rejoice in that. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And then, of course, the Lord's Prayer. And by the way, folks, if you've got your hymnals, we're looking at setting 3. I don't think I made that clear the last time we did this. We're in setting 3 in the hymnal. So I'm on page 196. Then the pastor either says or speaks the Lord's Prayer, and the congregation sings the ending of it. Now, why? Why in the world? Well, we're asking for the very things that he's going to promise. And by the way, the Lord's Supper actually gives you what you're praying for in the Lord's Supper.
Say more about
that. Pardon me. Did I say that right? I mean, I don't know if I said that. You pray the Lord's Prayer before the Lord's Supper because the Lord's Supper will actually give you what you're praying for in the Lord's Prayer. I think that's the way I want to say
it. So which one translated, folks? What Brent is trying to say is the Lord's Supper answers the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you.
Of course, maybe I just muddied it too.
No, I think you said it much better than I did.
So let's give some examples of that. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray for what? Thy kingdom come. Well, okay.
It does.
The kingdom comes in the Lord's Supper. Is that what you're saying,
Brent? Yes, absolutely. Jesus reigns among his sinners at the sacrament.
I thought the kingdom of God came when he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we might believe his holy... Oh, wait, I guess we do that in the Supper.
That's exactly right. And so this also helps us when you read the book of Revelation, the worship scenes in Revelation 5, Revelation 7, etc. This is what's happening when you're at the Lord's Supper, by the way, with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. Hebrews 12, Revelation 5, etc.
Yep.
All right. This is cool stuff.
This is.
So, thy kingdom come. It comes in the sacrament because he's there. The king is here, and he reigns. And how does he reign? He says, eat this and drink it. You're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I died for you.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it. Trust it. So, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Yeah, his will is being done among us. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's being fulfilled as well.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive us our trespasses.
The supper, as I think last week we mentioned this in the dismissal. It's for the strengthening of your body and soul.
Yes.
That's your the daily bread connection as well.
Yes. Yes.
And just as the Lord fed his people Israel with manna, this daily bread. So the real bread from heaven is being given here.
That's right. And don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm not denying the small cat. You have a both and here. You have the small cat. You look at the Lord's Prayer and you look at the this petition, give us the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. And what's meant by daily bread? And the answer is all that we need to support this body and life, such as good weather, good friends, good government, pious rulers, etc., good reputation. That's true as well with daily bread, because you couldn't have daily bread. You couldn't eat unless you had a stable government. Etc.
Well, and
good weather.
And you know, we're taught to pray the Lord's Prayer throughout the day as well. And so, you know, different things maybe get emphasized in different settings.
And so what we're talking about here is that fourth petition is also fulfilled when you go and eat the Lord's Supper. And the forgiveness of sins is given.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fifth petition, etc. Deliver us from all evil.
Right.
It's all fulfilled here.
Yep. And we can be certain and sure of this. We can be bold and confident that this is because the Lord has both commanded us to eat and to drink and has promised such things.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to eat and drink the Lord's body and blood, and that's what's going on. And then the pastor, after the Lord's Prayer, then either says or sings the words of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And by the way, how do you remember? Well, what are you remembering? Well, you're remembering what he said. Remember that he's the one who died for you and now who gives you his body and blood.
Mm-hmm.
This is the remembrance. In other words, when you eat and drink, you're remembering because you're given his body and blood. And all you can think of then is this is the very body and blood that died and rose for me,
right?
For my salvation.
Right. This is Calvary brought to me, if you will.
Yeah. To talk like that, sure. The benefits of Calvary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think that'd be better said.
Yes.
The benefits, because Rome teaches that it's Calvary brought to you again. It's Good Friday represented. See, we have to be careful in how we talk about these things. I mean, I understand what people will say this, that it's good Calvary brought to you. I think it's better to be said the benefits of Calvary brought to you.
And I guess my emphasis was this very body, this very blood.
Okay.
It was sacrificed. It was given and shed for me on Calvary.
Yeah, and that's true.
And now it's given to me here, not to be re-sacrificed, but rather, as you would mention and highlight, the benefits.
What? Yeah.
Because this isn't a dead body and blood. This is a resurrected body and blood, life-giving body
that's
and blood.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, let me say something about, because maybe you've never heard the words of institution chanted, and maybe just for the first time or recently you've heard them chanted. Maybe you got a pastor who does that now, and you didn't grow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that what your pastors did in the past by not chanting was wrong. And I'm not saying that you didn't have the Lord's Supper. You certainly did, as long as the Lord's words were there, because his words do and give what they say. But think about it. Think about it. Pretend that, for the sake of our discussion here, pretend that you lived at the time of the Reformation. In other words, your great-grandparents, your grandparents, your parents, and you, you've all grown up in a church where you've never heard the words of our Lord here at this point in the service. All you saw was the priest facing the altar, kneeling, and whispering. You couldn't hear what he was saying. Now, he was saying the words of institution, but you weren't hearing them. And he was looking at the bread and the wine while he was saying the words.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd watch that, you'd see that happening. But then you'd be doing your own little private devotions, if you will, standing there, waiting for something to happen. Namely, you would hear a bell ring. And as the bell rang, then the priest would elevate either the host or the cup, depending on what part of the words of institution he was at. And then you knew, when you saw that ritual, the elevation of the host and the cup, you knew then that the priest was now offering the body or the blood of Christ to God the Father as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. And that, for you, was the most important part of the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after he would offer the body and blood of Jesus to God the Father, then you would go and take communion in one kind. You would simply receive communion. What I mean by one kind is you'd only receive the host and not the cup. And by the way, side note, in case you're wondering, why is that? Because they said, well, you get the whole Christ in the host. You get the body and the blood in the host, so you don't need the... But again, there, Jesus didn't say that either.
And it hadn't always been that way in the Catholic Church.
Small C Catholic,
right.
Yeah. But I'm retelling this history so that, imagine, that's what all your family has grown up with for decades and generations. And then all of a sudden, the Reformation happens. And all of a sudden, the pastor, at this point in the service, turns, faces the congregation, and with the host in his hand, and then later on with the chalice in his hand, he looks at you, and he chants the words of institution here. And it's the same key as the Holy Gospel that you heard chanted earlier in the service, meaning, same key, it means this is the Gospel. Just as the Holy Gospel gives us the Gospel of the Lord, so now also, Gospel again in the sacrament. Now, this was absolutely theologically revolutionary in the church at this time.
A reformational 180.
It was, because now you actually knew what the Lord's Supper is and what it was for. It was his body and blood, not to be offered to God the Father as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead, but rather, the body and blood of Jesus is now given for you to eat and drink, believing his promise that your sins are forgiven. And that's why he would turn and face the congregation, because this is Christ's words, they're Christ's words, his proclamation to you. Luther gives this rubric in his German Mass. He said, you know, let's tear the altars away from the altar, and the pastor should face the people at this point.
Tear the altars away from the walls.
Did I didn't say
you
that right.
You were tearing altars from altars.
I'm losing my mind. Where's the people are here to take me away.
The van for the nursing home.
They're here. I've used
Stick
up all my
Stick with us,
time.
Folks. Stick with us, folks.
Thank you for correcting me.
Sorry.
My wife has to do this all the time. But this, again, was just absolutely...
Why did they tear the altars away from the wall?
Well, a lot of them didn't. A lot of them didn't.
Why would one do that?
So that you could face the people.
Oh, so the pastor would then go and stand behind the altar.
Yeah, and then face the
and
people.
And face the people.
And Luther says, just as Jesus did in the first Lord's Supper.
And not in a reenactment way, right? Trying to get this divine drama exactly correct. No, but it's all directional, if you will. I mentioned earlier a reformational 180. From the priest facing towards the altar, offering a sacrifice, to now the priest, the pastor, facing the people, speaking the Lord's gospel. This is the good news for you. And singing it into your ears so that you might hear and believe and receive what the Lord promises and offers.